Welcome to the 12 Days of Marketing, where we share in 12 steps for your business to start the new year off right. Listen in with our host, Matt Halloran, as he discusses these important tips with some very special guests.
All right, we are on episode number 9 from the 12 Days of Marketing and Business Planning with Joe Lucas. We are going to talk now about marketing, branding, and business development. I love that Joe has this, of course, very, very, very selfishly, because, you know, Top Advisor Marketing is a marketing and communication and media company. So I'm very interested in how you implement this and integrate this into your overall business planning process. So, Joe, let's go. Tell me what's going on.
All right, Matt. Well, hey, let's hit it. So, you know, when I do this module live, it's funny. This is an ideal life and lifestyle is everybody's favorite modules, right? Because everybody wants to talk about getting more clients and marketing and things like that. So we actually spend a good 3 to 4 hours on this when we do it live and really do a lot of brainstorming. So how we integrate, right? So how are we going to grow the business? And I think before we do that, we need to talk about the differential between marketing, branding, and / business development. Because I think advisors lop them all into one big box. And they're really two different things, right? Marketing and branding to me is your website, your social media, what I call your external communication, right? Your voice, all those things, your social profiles. So it's really about impressions, right? Impressions and messaging, right? Getting out there. Business development is what I call the belly to belly part, right? That's sitting down with a prospect, that's sitting down with a center of influence, that's sitting down with a client where we're really looking to drive revenue. So we need to differentiate the two, because they have two very distinct and different functions. Marketing branding is to tee things up. Business development is to close things, right? So you could be a great marketer, but if your meeting process sucks, you're not going to do well. If you have a great meeting process, but you can't get people to come see you because your marketing branding sucks, well, you suck, right? So it's really about blending it all together. And I think that's one of the first messages I want to get out in this episode, is you have to understand the difference between the two. Okay.
Got it. Now let's talk about your voice and your message.
Okay. So I believe our industry is rapidly evolving to the following. I think, you know, we think about identities, you know, so we think about being, well, I'm the advisor, I'm the financial planner, I'm the asset manager, whatever it is that you, I'm the wealth manager, whatever your identity is. But here's reality. As our industry evolves, as more technology comes in, as we all fear some level of commoditization. Well, what does the advisor of 2025 look like? What does the advisor of 2030 look like? And here's what they look like, in my opinion. You're going to be a coach. You're going to be a guru. You're going to be a teacher. You're going to be a mentor. So if those are the identities over the next 5 and 10 years that are going to thrive in our industry, what do we need to do? Well, you need to stop regurgitating third-party information and create your own voice. Podcasting. I want you to be the subject matter expert. I want you to have the opinion. I want you to get out there. And by the way, and Matt, you know this, for guys and gals, the first couple podcasts, the concept is uncomfortable. Oh my God, I got to be on center stage? Why can't I just take this article that's a compliance improved and regurgitate it this way, right? Because over time, I don't think that's meaningful right now. Just quite frankly, gunks up all my news feeds right on LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff. I want authentic. Take the time and do authentic, because the person has to get to know you in order to want to sit down with you. And the only way they can get to know you is if they see your personality. And the only way they're going to get to see your personality is if you allow it to be expressed by doing podcast, right? By getting out there with your voice. That's what they need, not third-party stuff. So that's what I really strive, and I'm going to be very, you know, this year I'm going to be very, very adamant about this. Like, I need you all. Like, I'm going to be in a room of, you know, 75 advisors. All of you need to find a way to get your voice in the marketplace and start creating your tribes, start creating, you know, people need to like you. They need to resonate with you. You know, your brand is you. Your personal brand is you. People are going to do business because of you, but if they never get to know you, why would they do business with you? So that makes sense to Matt?
Absolutely. And it does give you the opportunity to scale. you know, instead of just doing, you know, podcasting, videos, webinars, you know, an amazing website with great content, all of that gives your brand legs. But I want to take a step back because I want to know a little bit more about how you feel about advisor branding. What questions do you ask to help an advisor figure out what their public-facing face should be?
Great question. So the first question we ask in our module that we do, right? Give me your statement of preeminence. And what a statement of preeminence basically means is answers the question, why should a person hire you? Why should somebody do business with you, right? And it sounds like a very basic question, but you'd be surprised how many advisors, it's almost like I just shocked them with electricity because their body language goes totally sideways, like, because we care about our clients, or, you know, they start like vomiting up some stuff, right? Holistic this and garbage. They have no well thought out. And so what that tells me is they're not confident. And this is not about being arrogant or having a big ego. This is about just pure confidence. If you don't believe that you're better than your competition, then why are you here, right? And it doesn't mean we got to go pound our chest. This is an internal thing. You got to know why you do what you do, how you serve at the highest level, why you deserve the business. Because if you don't have that in not only your own personal DNA and mindset, but your team's DNA, I don't care what you put out there in the marketplace, it will be incongruent and it will fail because you're not being authentic, right? Being authentic is so important. So that's the first question, Matt. Hey, why should somebody hire you versus your competitors? And we sit there for a good chunk of time and we just go over it. And what I'm looking for specifics, right? Well, hey, and we care more. And how we care more is, you know, our clients have our cell phone numbers. We're here 24/7. We do this. Like, I'm looking for real tangible differentials. And in an industry that's compliant-based, right, where we just can't go say guaranteed or this, that, that, what you're really left with as a differential is your client experience, how you communicate, how you educate, how you show that you care, right? That's really the differentials, and you better articulate that in a very detailed, meaningful way.
I was just talking to an advisor about this yesterday, and I asked him a very, very similar question. And this advisor happens to be one of the best advisors that I know. So we were doing it over Google Hangouts, and the look on his face is exactly like you just said. His mouth opened up and he was just like, man, I don't really know if I can communicate that succinctly. We know, Joe and I both know that's a very, very difficult question. But once you solidify that, everything truly changes. All right. What else are we missing with marketing, branding, and business development?
Well, the next thing is, hey, who's your ideal client? So who are we looking to attract, right? I mean, when you start out in your career, right, it's like, hey, walk, talk, breathe, have $5, you're a client. It's not the way it works anymore. So you got to know who you want to attract. And you know, there's a lot of misnomer, oh, Joe, do I need a niche or not need a niche, right? I think this industry, and I think certain consultants in this industry try to really kind of fine-tooth people. And so here's why I always answer that question. Here's what a niche is. A niche is, this is what I do, and if you're not that, then I don't work with you. That's a niche, right? So I work financial advisors. This is all I do, right? If you have a buddy who's an accountant, I'll refer you to a different coach. So unless you, the advisor, are going to say, I only deal with retirees, anybody under 65, I don't work with, or just doctors, or just this, or just that, unless you're going to exclude them, what you have is maybe an area of specialty, not a niche. Because here's what we all want. We want clients we like. We want clients that are going to listen. We want clients who are going to pay us. And we want clients who are going to introduce us. The four tenets of a great relationship, right? Likeable, profitable, coachable, leverageable. Four things, right? And if you talk to advisors, oh, yeah, that's really what I want, right? Profitable, that's a number that's going to depend on the advisor. 5,000, 10,000, 25,000, 50,000. You know, what's the annual revenue we need? So we need to kind of define what that client is. So once I have that, Matt, then, you know, now I can go ahead and say, okay, well, how are we going to go ahead and attract that person, right? So that's going to be part of the marketing plan also. Then, quite frankly, next step is our storefront. Storefront, website, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever they got going on, right? Our website today is our first impression. Years ago, and unfortunately, Matt, you and I are old enough to remember this. First impressions were when you first met somebody. They rolled up in your office, you met them somewhere, you shook their hand, you looked them in the eye, and they got the vibe. Today, vibes are done by websites. And unless you've got a killer kick-ass website, you're at a disadvantage. So think of your website as your storefront and your LinkedIn profile as your personal brochure. They've got to be top-notch. And what I call as cutting edge as your firm or compliance or your technology will allow, you want to go ahead and do that, right? So we look at the website, we look at their social sites. Everything needs to be up where they need to have it, okay? So that's that. Now, we go into the voice. Now we go into our community. This is where top advisor marketing comes in, right? So what are we doing for podcasting, blogging? What are we doing to get our brand out there, to put our voice out there, to educate ourselves? And by the way, there's a window here for the next couple of years where those advisors who get out there and start creating their content, get out there and create their tribes, get out there and be unique. You have a distinct advantage. Over the next 7 to 10 years, as all these boomers retire and all these advisors retire and all the money transfers, people are going to be looking for help. And who are they going to talk to? Somebody that they feel they have a level of familiarity with, right? Somebody that they hear from time to time because they're doing a podcast or putting content out there. So I want to know what that looks like, right? So that's the voice. That's our storefront, right? Our first impression. And then the last, and this, by the way, is just the first part of the whole marketing piece. What is the value of an A client to you over their lifetime? So lifetime value, right? So if you say to me, hey, Joe, you know, my typical A client is $15,000 a year, and, you know, they're going to be with me probably 20 years. They retired 65, figure 85. We're not going to get into markets, and, you know, some guys will sit there and say, yeah, Joe, but how do you deal with the market, ups and downs? I said, no, we don't. $15,000 a year times 20 is 300, right? We'll just keep it simple for now. So every time you bring on an A client, you're going to accrue $300,000 of gross revenue, right? When an advisor knows those numbers, you make very different decisions on marketing and business development, because you'll sit there and go, you know what? I'm willing to invest more money in this. I'm willing to put the time and energy into a podcast, because every time I attract an ideal client, it's going to be $300,000. If I attract just an average client, it's going to be $100,000 over those 20 years, right? Whatever it's going to be. So I need them to figure out what their ideal is, what the lifetime value is, because what I found is when you know what things are worth to you over a period of time, an advisor will make a different set of decisions.
I love the familiarity aspect of all of this. If you don't have a great website, if you don't have a voice in the marketplace, especially when you're trying to attract younger clients, you really don't exist. And Joe, thank you very much for adding this, what we believe is a very important component of business planning, because a lot of advisors are just going to chase the next shiny thing. And you have allowed them to focus and say, okay, here's what you need to do. Don't always chase all of the other shiny things. And also, you have been able to quantify the value of marketing. So anything else? Any closing thoughts on this one?
Yeah, really quick. You know, last part is I want you to think about your business development as a tabletop. And there's going to be basically four legs that we're going to sign in. I know we're not going to have time to do all these at length. But look, first thing, what's your referral strategy? How are you going to attract new clients from happy clients? Number two, what's your optimization strategy? How are you going to maximize the revenue and the opportunities from your existing client base? So many advisors have outside money, other products and services they haven't dealt with, that they're leaving the profitability of their current households. You know, there's so much more that can be done. Number three, what's your voice, your social, your websites? That's our third marketing leg. And then our fourth one is going to be our educational events. We're going to do client hybrid events, webcasts, webinars. We're going to gather. So every advisor who's listening, going into 2019, you're going to have four business development and marketing legs at a minimum.
So I just want everybody to realize the sequence of what we've been going through here. So we've gone through, this is the ninth podcast of our 12 days of marketing here with Joe and the business planning. We had eight steps before we got anywhere near marketing and planning when it came to business planning. So many of you will do business development, do marketing, do branding, All of that stuff way, way ahead of before you even figure out what you want to be when you grow up. We at Top Advisor Marketing would love it if you would have a chance to work with Joe to figure out who you are, you know, what makes you unique and different and what you want to be when you grow up before you ever, ever hire us to help you with your marketing, with your branding, with your social media or podcasting. So Joe, thank you very much for your brain.
Matt, my pleasure as always. Thank you.
And next podcast, podcast episode number 10, is going to be about the quarterly game plan. I'm sure, you know, Joe has been sprinkling this throughout, so we're going to dive into that more deeply, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.